I remember when we were strong. Back in the days before King Tenebrae and his royal guard, and the people of Amozrin took up their own arms for fun and profit. Before all that, there was just us, the Viridian Outriders. We kept the roads and trails safe and secure, with homes and forts scattered about and locales civilized and not. Time passed, and we have been replaced. And yet, I hear the rumblings and murmurs of the roads being less safe than they had been. Monsters sniffing around in smaller towns, and magic acting oddly. Who knows? Maybe we'll be needed again.
Hello, and welcome back to Another Path. My name is Chase, and I remain your GM. Today, our heroes grab some lunch and learn a bit more about the bandits from Lutome. Thank you to our backers, Trent, Carl, and Keith, for their support. If you like what you hear, consider donating to us at patreon.com/ghostlightmedia, and maybe try checking out some of the other shows on the network. But with that, sit back, relax, and enjoy your trip down another path.
Katie said that Arabin is her favorite character today. So Ryan, you and I are still 0-2 because Zephyr was her favorite character in Aegis. So
listen, I have a very specific brand.
You are, however, I think I may have told you this, you are my friend Kasia's favorite character though, with Jackson.
Okay, well,
because she said, quote, I love a sad boy.
I'm good at two things.
Arabin's not even my favorite character.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that in the actual episode.
Yeah, yes, that waveform's real good, fellas.
Definitely did not come through on this end.
Alas. Yeah, I've got some barrel-aged Christmas ale.
Ooh. Oh.
Got a four-pack of this from my dad for Christmas, and this is the last one.
It is mid-January.
And it is 8%.
All right, a Candle Knight's ale, Justin.
Hey, Ryan. How about that? How about that football game?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm so mad about the football game that I didn't even get to watch because I was at auditions.
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
It was real bad.
And I'm not happy about it either because the football men that won are my sworn enemies.
Yes, the evil cheeseheads.
I can't believe that one team scored more points than the other team.
How dare they? Did everyone see the football men from the other day who had to play in negative 30 degree weather with a cracked and destroyed helmet?
I did see that one. Yeah, it was so cold, his helmet broke.
Oh my God.
Which is notably not what they are supposed to do.
And the problem is not just that, like, they all have their own helmets, right? But because it's the quarterbackmen, they have radios in the quarterback's helmet and not the rest of them. So he can't just go grab any old head dome shield. He needs a very specific face protector that he can talk to his good friend Andy with. They won the game. Andy's mustache was very frozen.
It was very frozen. But it's okay because the refs also love that footballman and they wouldn't let anything bad happen to him.
Yes, just his helmet. Just the helmet. I had a bit. And I've completely forgotten it because I've committed to this one.
No, don't commit to it. It's mine. It's bad.
Eject, eject.
I don't know that I have any bits.
I have a bit.
Uh-oh.
Proceed.
It's not a bit. Justin's getting married.
That's true.
That is true.
That's a bit?
I got it. I don't know, Justin, is it?
I mean, it is happening.
I got my save the date email, so it popped up the other day. I was like, oh, that's right. I was happy. I found joy briefly, thank you. Oh. It's gone now, but...
Well, okay. Well, easy come, easy go, I guess.
Listen, 2024 has not been great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just drink the Christmas ale like Chase does. Stay in 2023
I'm out.
Forever.
I'm out.
There is a game that you might be familiar with called Campaign for North Africa. It is a ridiculously, like if it were made today, this would be an art piece. It is physically too long to actually play a game of it.
Oh, God.
Even the designers have not successfully completed a game of Campaign for North Africa. Like, a single round is, like, hundreds of hours long.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's real dumb. It's, like, it's a World War One like calling it a like war game, effectively. Yeah. Like, war game, but also, yeah.
But, like, tabletop or?
Tabletop, 100%. Okay. Like, look it up. It exists. There was a stretch goal, I want to say, for some MCDM project where they would play a single round of it and record it for posterity because it is so long and dumb to play.
That sounds Do tables so... even last hundreds of hours?
That sounds so boring.
The reason I bring it up is that it is commonly accepted that in that game, even though almost no one has ever played it and very few people have completed it, that Italians are the hardest army to play with because they require extra water as a pasta tax. Because they have to cook the pasta with the water. You have to have more water for each of your Italian soldiers.
What the fuck?
That's what I like to hear. Now, I will say, on the subject of tables, when Undertaker's around, tables only last like 3 minutes.
Tops. Don't let him near your Campaign from North Africa game. Justin, I have exciting and simultaneously disappointing news to share.
That's the only kind of news I like to hear.
In Legends Arceus, I caught my first shiny.
Do not do that to me.
What'd you get?
Hold on, can we guess?
I'll tell you right now, it's extremely disappointing.
Oh, okay. It's you got your shiny Espeon and you're sad about it.
You got your shiny Growlithe.
Bidoof.
No.
Shiny Gyarados, which is just red.
Oh no, it's Ponyta.
I'm not counting that one because the game gives you that one.
That's why I was saying it was disappointing because it doesn't actually count because it just gives
my it first like organic shiny in the wild.
Non-GMO shiny.
It was a Combi.
Ooh.
Oh.
And it was worse.
Was it male?
Combi.
No.
So it won't even fucking evolve.
The forever Combi.
And I've been playing this. This has been my bedtime game with my girlfriend before we go to bed. And she thinks all the Pokemon are very cute and gets sad when they evolve because they get less cute.
Mm-hmm. That is how Pokemon's work. Yeah.
That's and how evolution works.
And I got children the also. Combi. Point. I got the Combi and I was like, holy shit. Oh my fucking God. A shiny. And then I was like, oh, she's like, what? It's cute. I was like, you don't understand. I was so defeated.
You don't understand. It's going to be cute forever.
And can never
were
be
you
strong.
Able to explain it to her, or were you just so far beyond? You were incapable.
No, I was. Like, she's savvy with Pokemon and more as we've been playing. But like, God, I was so disappointed, and my disappointment was palpable. And I think that's what she didn't understand of like why I was so defeated. Like, it was my first fucking shiny, and I'm gonna have to live with the fact that my first shiny was a fucking male Combi.
I mean, Combi's got a decent shiny.
Griff, mine was a Hoppip. No, I'm sorry, mine was a Jumpluff, which
I fuck with Jumpluff.
Yeah, Jumpluff's pink. Hey, it's fine. It's fine. It's just the dumbest Pokemon name to say in a given moment. Is it though? It's real bad.
I will give you real bad. Is it the dumbest one?
It's not the dumbest.
I believe there's one named Kling Klang.
Here's the thing. I feel better saying Kling Klang than I do saying Jumpluff.
I like Jumpluff.
Jumpluff is fine. It is in Scarlet. So it's like it is an actual like normal odds, like 1 in 8,000 or whatever shiny.
Yeah.
But
you want to talk about dumb names? There's a Pokemon named Buzzswole.
That's pretty dumb.
It's a thick buzz.
He poses like he's some sort of mass jarter.
I mean, look, we could get Xan on here probably within like a span of 15 minutes to get his canned rant on how dumb Pokemon names are.
It's one of my favorite things.
It is genuinely phenomenal.
He better not come from my boy Vanillish.
Listen, I got to tell Zan that there was a tea kettle Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And for a brief second, he had a glint of hope in his eye. And then he saw the Pokemon, and that hope died.
Sinistee.
Okay, Sinistee's a teacup. Poltegeist is the pot. Okay, get your facts straight.
Eat my ass, Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Yo, yeah, what's up?
Justin?
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Hey, fucking Justin.
Yeah, what's up?
This is gonna be so you want to play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
A snowstorm pelts Baring for the third straight night. Miller's Pond has frozen over. Comfortable columns of smoke rise above snow-strewn streets. Snow drifts, pile, and obscure the headstones in the town's small graveyard. As a lone figure braves the weather, they look up at the rounded roof of the large, conspicuous crypt in the center. She would rather have stopped at the inn for the night, but orders are orders. She steps into the crypt and, with a steady hand on a stone railing, descends into the crypt of the Outriders. With the letter of introduction in hand, this is just another mission. It is the day after the approach of the stranger. Skies are, for the first time in several days, clear. A missive goes out to each of you to come to the crypt. There's news of the Urk sign.
Fuck.
Ooh.
You each arrive a little bit ahead of schedule and make your way to the cafeteria a little bit before noon to grab some lunch.
Yeah!
It's time to level up, my friends.
Woo!
Level up time. Let's go. What level are we now?
I have a...
Six?
We're level six.
Six of them.
I have a very heavy level up, so I don't know if that means I should go first or should I should go last.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Cecil is level six now. I am at a solid 39 hit points. Oh, my armor class is still 10. My initiative bonus is still zero.
Brother.
I got... new spell slot. I got a new spell. I swapped out a spell. I don't know if I want to say what they are.
That's fine. You can keep your secrets.
I got some. Yeah, I'm up to 3 third level spell slots now at this point. And then the interesting thing, apart from the spells which we'll eventually cast, I get the next perk in the Clockwork Soul Sorceress Origin, which I'll just read out because it could be super handy in keeping Cecil from being murdered. Bastion of Law. You can tap into the grand equation of existence.
Okay.
To imbue a creature with a shimmering shield of order. As an action, you can expend 1 to 5 sorcery points to create a magical ward around yourself or another creature you can see within 30 feet of you. The ward lasts until you finish a long rest or until you use this feature again. The ward's represented by a number of d8s equal to the number of sorcery points spent to create it. When the warded creature takes damage, you can expend any number of those dice, roll them, and reduce the damage taken by the total rolled in those dice.
Ha! Interesting.
Yes.
So you basically get, like, almost at will temporary hit points.
Basically, yeah.
Sorta, yeah.
Sorta.
Damage reduction, at least.
Damage reduction, yeah. So, well, it's not concentration. DR. It's not a spell, so it's not concentration.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a spell. It's a feature.
It's a feature. So, yeah. I can only have it up on one person, though.
Cool.
At a time.
Ah, okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
And if I'm using my sorcery points this way, which is super cool, means I'm not using them to do other things.
Which are also all super cool.
Yeah.
And what are you having for lunch?
So you know how the day after Thanksgiving and then like the next week and a half, you just are eating Thanksgiving turkey day leftovers?
Are you eating a sandwich with a moist maker?
It's just, you know, the fish chili. There was so much of it that...
There was so
much leftover fish chili that it's been turned into a bunch of different things.
I do want to re-clarify. We are fully 3 months afterwards.
It keeps well.
There was so much of it.
It was the 69th. We went hard. We also went hard.
Hey. Very well.
So it's like some of it got frozen and turned into fish chili popsicles. So that's what lunch is.
Canceled. Justin, please go.
Okay. So my level up is pretty...
Yeah, it's like No. Hold on. I would like to defend the popsicle gumbo.
I don't want you to.
I will not allow you. That is a three-fourths vote of no. I apologize, sir. Justin, the floor is yours.
That's fair.
Oh, no.
I declare this meeting of the council adjourned.
Oh, no. my level up is pretty basic. I still only have 2 spell slots. I picked up a couple of third level spells, mixed around a couple of my spells, but as a warlock, they will either appear very infrequently, or I will just need to have a sit down after every battle.
I gotta get your Capri Sun and an orange slice.
Yeah, just like lay on the ground for an hour, just think about what I've done.
We saw it out a bit.
At 6th level, as a warlock, patron feature, I get a cursed specter, which means that when I kill somebody, I can resurrect their spirit and bring them back as a specter that I control.
Sure can. So
you know,
Harper's gonna be so scared.
It's another Pokemon feature. I got my snake.
How do I keep fucking ending up running familiar quest?
Sorry, bro.
I got my snaky boy and I got my ghosty boy.
You've got your Arbok, you've got your Duskull.
That's basically my level up. For my lunch, Arabin is sick of the gumbo popsicles. Mm-hmm. So he's digging into his reserve of dipping sticks that he kept from the festival. And he's having a bit of a throwback.
I will say, you are in the cafeteria. Like, there are cold cuts. There are, like, things available for you to have a good lunch.
What do you think the stick of the frozen gumbo chili is?
Again, cancel.
Justin just yes-handed me.
Just hard.
I'm leaning just into
frozen
it.
Frozen roast beef sticking out of the gumbo.
No, the dipping sticks.
I hate
it's
this.
Edible.
Vile. Oh, directly boy. To jail.
On second thought, Arabin is having an apple.
Harper, save us, please.
Yes. Okay, so level 6 Artificer. I get several things. The main thing is I get tool expertise. So any skill check that I make using my tools, I get double proficiency in.
Handy.
That includes thieves' tools.
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah. I also get some new infusions. So the ways that I trick out like my armor and my weapon and I create like the shell phones. Previously I knew 4 total infusions and could have any 2 of them active at the same time. Mm-hmm. Now I know 6 total infusions and can have any 3 of them active at the same time. And there's like a new echelon of options that I get.
Gotcha. Nice.
So the 2 new ones that I chose, and this is going to come actually in the form of gifts to the fellas here.
I'm sorry, in gift form?
Yes.
Gift?
GIF? No, in gift form. You guys are going to get some early Candle Knights gifts. So like while we're doing this, by the way, I'm having some chicken and waffles that I made myself, goddammit, because fuck this cafeteria food. Mm-hmm. I've been working on a lot of stuff over the past like month or two. So I have some things for you guys. First off, I hand out a pair of platinum rings to each of you guys. And I have one as well.
This is so unexpected.
This is not a marriage proposal, Arabin.
Oh, okay.
halflings don't propose with rings culturally. No, this is like something for a magical component, so I can do something down the line with it. But Arabin, if you take a look at your ring, and as you kind of like turn it over, there is like some like temporary inscription that has been like magically infused onto it. Currently, this functions as a spell refueling ring. Once per day, you can recover one expended spell slot of third level or lower.
I just liked Chase's deep sigh.
Now that is one spell slot per day. Like,
yeah.
That's 50% more spell slots.
And for what it's worth, if this is happening in combat, you do have to use your action to activate the ring. But it's still clutch and handy.
Yeah, but I have played a warlock before, and Justin did cop to what one of the spells was off mm-hmm. mic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know that I was a pain in both of your asses with this character with that spell. And I know what's coming for me. Yep. And I am already rethinking every combat I was thinking of throwing at you for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. And good. Frankly, like puzzle encounter, anything really.
Yeah. Justin, for what it's worth as well, this item does require attunement.
Okay.
Mm.
And then Cecil.
Yes.
Do you have your stole with you?
Always.
Can I see it for a second?
Yes, there you go.
Harper takes out a like it looks like a needle and thread, but it's a really large needle and a very thin gauge wire that she actually like briefly and magically runs through the length of the stole.
Mm-hmm.
And then wraps it back over your shoulders. This is my other new infusion called a mind sharpener. This has 4 charges. Anytime you would fail a concentration check, you can choose to succeed by expending a charge.
Oh, Boise.
And then I do have a gift for Katie as well.
I'm not. Oh, boy. I'm not saying I literally just took 2 new concentration spells either. But I've got my plans have plans now.
This does not require attunement. So this can be passed around as well.
So I just easily. Get 4 free concentration passes a day.
It is one of those things where it regains 1d4 charges at dawn.
Okay, cool.
So it's not possible. It's possible it doesn't have all 4 charges at the start of every day.
Yeah, but still, sure.
It's if you lose a concentration check, you can just burn a charge and gain that and just pass it.
Hell yes.
And it's not one of those things where if you use all the charges, it breaks, right?
I can just make this thing.
I'm going to bed.
And then lastly, And then lastly, I have something for Katie as well. As I pull out a pair of like fine leather gloves that have little like metal affixions to the like the joints that are sort of like almost like something like synthetic or robotic, where it's like cybernetic, like cybernetically enhanced almost. But now I can also make, as part of my replicate magic items, gloves of thievery, which just gives a +5 to all sleight of hand and thieves tools checks.
Yes. KT.
And I can use those for myself as well, which with my tool expertise and for those playing along at home, if I decide to make a thieves tools check, I make that at a, let's see here, +13.
Congratulations, Griff, you broke it.
Now again. And I still have the shell phones and my returning weapon and my enhanced armor. I can only have 3 of those 6 things active at one time, and I can only sub them out on long rests. Artificers are complicated. It requires some prep. But these are all things I am capable of doing.
So are we saying that there's going to be just 3 that are normally going unless you say differently, or...
I'll set those at the top of the day and I'll plan to like hand those things out. For right now, I have the 3 active just for the sake of the scene.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My like kind of standard, I think, is going to be I have an enchantment on my spear, the spell refueling ring, and the mind sharpener. That's kind of my default plan.
Yeah.
And if that needs to change down the line, then that can change down the line as part of a rest.
Oh, Griffin. You beautiful bastard. You have no idea what you've done.
I am an outfitter, and I'm having chicken and waffles.
Man, and I can twin spell. I can concentrate on twin spell.
404 Chase not found.
Now, for your peace of mind, Chase, Artificer doesn't really pop off again until level 9.
Okay.
So
I got a couple.
You've got
I've got like the rest of this campaign of breathing room.
Artificer really like it jumps and then it plateaus.
Yeah. No,
I get a cool thing next level, but like I don't really get anything like mega cool again until level
9. That's the thing, cuz like Warlock is the same way, cuz I know Arabin just popped off as well. I know I'm not going to have a tough level up until you both have another good one.
I can't wait till Harper makes us all invincibility sunglasses.
As you all finish up your lunch, Luca appears in the doorway. He motions for you three and a few others to follow him into the briefing room. It's a low, circular stone room with a crackling fire in the middle. At one time, this room was used for funerals. It's common knowledge. These days, though, it is for discussion of the rare, larger mission that comes up. You are joined by a few others, and without even thinking, all of you are able to clock that these are many of those that were first responders with you all at Loot Home. A woman stands at the head of the room, flanked on either side by High Captain Luca Sutton and the newly minted Knight Captain Meredith Galhoun. The stranger is human. In her mid to late 30s, curly brown hair tied back in a very professional knot. As everyone settles in and prepares, she is referencing a roster and makes a couple of scant comments to her two companions. As you all settle in, you see that there's just north of 10 of you in the room. The doors close, and she straightens herself up and addresses you all. Good afternoon. My name is Evelyn Hart. I am the cord of King Sterling Taggart, first of his name. I have been sent here on private business with the Crown to offer you here in attendance a mission of the utmost secrecy. We have news that those that you all encountered at Loot Home are moving in this direction. We need them stopped before they reach the border and create an international incident. Due to the sensitive nature of the situation, though, we would ask that you all, of course, promise yourself to a reasonable level of discretion with those outside of this room. In addition to this being an ongoing security threat that may cause a panic in the general populace, frankly, we don't know enough about exactly what's going on to be able to offer anybody a satisfactory answer to what is actually happening. She waves a hand, and a ring on her pinky glows, and within the smoke that the fire is creating, an image flickers. You see one of the raiders. Close-ups of their face, their armor, detail points that you might remember from your initial encounter. This, as you will remember, is our quarry. Note the dark circle on the red leather, the eyes, the veins, and of course an affinity for pyronic magics. They are also, as some of you may know, for all intents and purposes, dead, but bear none of the markers or defects that come with being undead. Rather fascinating situation, if I can say so myself. Any questions thus far?
Which border?
With the southern border.
That's how many of these things are we talking? I mean, I fought just two of them, and they did some damage. These things are no joke.
That is what you encountered. However, there are many more. What you encountered after what happened at Loot Home, best as we can tell, you arrived several hours after the initial incident. There were likely many, many more that actually did the raid. And we think we have tracked at least a portion of them heading in this general direction towards Amosrin. Anyways, she waves her hand again, and the image changes. It is replaced by an elegant golden reliquary, made to look like golden vines latticed in the shape of a box, pulsing with a red light. Cecil, I don't have to tell you what this is.
Cecil visibly recoils.
I have been given leave by the Crown to read you in on a bit more of what we believe is going on here. This is not the first time we have encountered something like this. There was a situation some years ago where a cult was caught with a very powerful magical artifact that caused its worshippers to transform into, well, individuals with these similar markers. Not the armor, of course, that is a new development, but the eyes, the veins, the dead and undead natures. This artifact is known as the Urksine device, at least colloquially. We never really got an actual proper name for it. As far as we know, that the artifact was destroyed at the time of the end of the last situation. They were known as the Urksine at the time. Well known for wild and erratic behavior. And this is where things seem to be differing. We've had spies, scouts, mainly, of course, keeping tabs on where these individuals are moving. They're moving with greater intent than their predecessors. Frankly, we believe that someone has come into possession of this artifact. And they are using it to control these creatures. Well, people, creatures, it's really hard to say at this point. We don't have IDs on any of the individuals, where they may have come from. Scouting hasn't showed us any religious intent either. Pure banditry, focused banditry. Due to the difference in the situation, we have decided to rename them, as these are, this is a different situation. Heretofore, these individuals will be known as the Undersigned. The Undersigned are on the move, and she waves her hand again, and the ring on her pinky glows, and the image is replaced from the Urksine device to a map showing a wide possible band of movement moving through the southern part of Taggart towards Imozrin, with bearing in a possible sweep.
Point of clarification, just for myself.
Yes.
So they're not sweeping. Imozrin's to our south, correct?
Correct.
So they're not coming up from Imozrin into Taggart. They're sweeping down from the center of Taggart, threatening into to cross Imozrin. The border down into Imozrin.
Correct.
Okay.
This is what she was referring to as an international incident.
Got it.
As bad as things are, if these are contained, you actually go ahead and give me an insight.
Why? 10.
10? With a 10, that's enough. If she is talking about being concerned about an international incident from what really amounts to, as far as you're aware, as magic bandits, you know that tensions must be rising between the two nations. If they are concerned about something like this causing a problem, mm-hmm. there's already a problem at play.
Insight's not my bag, but while we're here, can I glean anything about whether or not the magical banditry thing is sort of like underselling the truth of the matter?
With a 10, it's certainly possible.
Okay.
There definitely could be more going on, but at that's a 10, like... It's hard to say. She's talking. You're really being hit with a fire hose of information right now. Mm-hmm. And the moment you try and glean on something, she's already talking about something else. And you know that every word of this is vital.
Yeah. Harper's just like, our king's looking out for us. Nice.
Also, all of you would know this. Cecil, you especially. This is more support than the Crown has offered the Outriders in quite some time.
Yeah. Cecil is taking it all in. Seeing what parts of the stories line up
mm-hmm.
with what they know to be true, and just kind of has a little bit of a wry, distant smile in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was her title Cord?
Cord, like, yes. Okay.
I wrote that down because I like a good title.
Yeah.
Chord like string or chord like music?
Chord is a multi-layered title because in addition to it being chord like string, like this is an individual who ties the king to the nation. Chord is also a coordinator. They are somebody who goes out and coordinates things for the king. So this is somebody who serves in a very official capacity directly with Stirling.
And would speak for.
Correct.
And on behalf of. And yes. Be empowered to, so this person's important.
To make a lot of calls in the moment. This is somebody who Stirling trusts a lot. Evelyn continues. So our mission is to find this raiding party and wipe them out. Increase has protections for your dig site. That the king is aware of, have already been dispatched. We do not anticipate them being in that sweep. However, more protection is probably good in a situation like this. They're too far out east, though, for them to be a major concern. In the meantime, though, we are going to be moving forward with figuring out exactly what is going on here. So with that in mind, some of you are going to be dispatched tonight to go ahead and move forward as a scouting party. Your knight captain, is that the title? And Meredith nods. Your knight captain will be proceeding with giving out those orders. For the rest of you, you will be leaving first light tomorrow. And of course, we will be furnishing you with a few extra utilities as well, just to make sure that everybody stays connected and coordinated. In the meantime, though, of course, you will be compensated for doing this great work for the nation. In addition to a traditional, typical donation to the crypt itself, I have also been authorized to give 300 gold to anyone who would undertake this mission.
So the plan is just a direct attack? That sounds like a suicide mission to me.
Not quite. Great question, though. So we don't know what form or shape the raiding party is going to look like at the time of contact. That is why we are going to be sending a scouting mission ahead in order to make sure that we know what we're all getting into. I will be accompanying you. I'm no slouch myself, and we'll be able to kind of monitor things as we go. Like I said, I've got some ways for us to be keeping in contact with each other as we move forward in this. But with that in mind, outside of that, it's really hard to say. Our plan of attack is going to rely heavily on what we are going to be looking at when we actually catch up with them. Or more probably to the point, when they catch up with us. Hopefully we'll be able to set up some kind of an ambush or something, but it's hard to say.
Does it look like there's a point of origin or a point they're returning to? Or does it appear like they're consistently moving?
They have been moving pretty... not erratically, not like last time. And she looks at you meaningfully, and Cecil, you know that she knows who you are. It's not like last time, no. It's they are moving with direction, but they are very clearly trying to hide that direction or where it is coming from. We do not believe this is the ultimate source of the undersigned. However, it is certainly a reasonable population, particularly for what they can do in those numbers.
So we need to stop this group, but we don't expect to find the device with them.
Correct.
We would still need to keep looking.
This is not a fact-finding mission. This is a defensive one.
Understood.
However, those of you in this room are the ones who have the most direct contact with that entire situation. You were at the ground at Loot Home, and that is really everything that we need at this point. People who are already aware of what they're going up against and can make that informed decision for themselves. Any other questions?
How much time do we have to prepare?
And she references her sheet talk, right?
Yes.
Looks at Meredith, looks out at you. I believe you will have the day. Like I said, some of you will be leaving very, very shortly in order to get a scouting mission going. I But yeah, it doesn't look like you've been selected for that. And Meredith shakes her head, looking very squarely at Ignis.
He can be quiet.
But you can't, Harper.
I disagree. And I gesture to my breastplate that I've made over the... I got a +5 stealth, Meredith.
All right,
you're talking about?
You've gotten better.
Thank you.
And she just kind of gestures.
Make sure your people know. These things may look unassuming, but they are strong. And they are quick. And they can dismantle a group in an instant.
Evelyn looks at you, Arabin, and flicks through her notes and looks back up at you. Cronin, no, I want to... We are treating this with the utmost seriousness. You know, as a part of me being able to speak a little bit more freely amongst this crew here, I can say that the king is treating this with the utmost of seriousness. He was a part of the group that... dealt with them the last time the Outriders ran into this kind of a situation, as has your High Captain Luca here. This is all being treated as seriously as we possibly can. We are moving with discretion only to ensure that we do not create an undue panic.
Yeah.
Does there appear to be any sort of leader with this group?
With this group... There seems to be someone locally acting as a leader, but it does not appear to be the leader.
That would still be with whoever has the device, wherever that is, which is not today's problem. Understood.
Correct.
Cecil looks at Cordhart and also at Luca. Any chance we've got extra fire-resistant belts or potions?
Luca nods. Yeah, we've got a couple of things that Cordhart has brought down with us to bolster our own supply, as well as a few other things. We'll get to all of that in a moment. Cord, thank you very much. We'll address the rest of the Outriders here as we move to prepare. Luca looks down at a sheet and just passes it directly off to Knight Captain Meredith. She looks up. All right, then. Arnold, Caraway, and Shay, if y'all could come on over here, please. You're going to be our scouting party. Everyone else, just sit tight, and we'll get you all geared up and ready to go. In short order, things start to move. Cecil, in a way that you haven't seen in quite some time. Harper, Arabin, you've never seen movement quite like this out of the Outriders, but it falls into a very natural pattern. People walk up, receive their orders, and then separate off. Evelyn hands off a handful of potions and items to the scouting party as they leave, and they take off. Cordhart nods back up to them. The rest of these I'm going to take down to your quartermaster. Is that okay? Your Meredith nods. Right then. Yeah, tomorrow morning, everybody just report to the quartermaster. You are all split off into a couple of different groups. And of course, you three are together, as has been in a standard operating crew.
We know how this...
Man, that's real lucky.
We know how this works.
I was worried I was going to get split up from you guys. That would have been so bad.
You don't split up the Iggy crew.
Luca approaches the Iggy three of you.
Are we sold on the name? Are we...
I don't think so. I'm still open to suggestions.
No, not the Ignis part. The Ignis part is delightful. It's stuck quite well for him. I meant the Iggy gang. It doesn't... It's too many gurs. It doesn't...
I think it has a nice ring to it.
There are a lot of gurs. Iggy Gang.
Yes,
Iggy Gang.
See, it sounds good when you say
it. This is what fucking Luca walks up
yeah.
to.
But when I say it, it's the Iggy Gang, and it's not great.
What about the Crunchwrap Supremes?
You leave my boy out of this.
How dare you?
Look, I was just spitballing here. Anyway,
he's the heart of this team.
Anyways, you'll be leaving First Light tomorrow. You'll be heading up north. Part of your dispensation is going to be a few scrolls of sending. keep those, you know, ready at hand. I'm trying to work and finagle and get something maybe even a little bit more potent for the time of attack. We'll see if that ends up happening. In the meantime, prepare for that to be your only method of communication going forward. For right now, the plan is that, you know, we're going to be sending the crew out. Meredith has talked her way into going out on this one somehow. I'm not sure how she managed that with me, but fine, whatever. One last mission. I get it. We all have to have one last one.
One last one.
Hey, Hot Captain.
Yes, Harper.
Is this all on the level? Like, not to try to be the one to, you know, talk to the older Outriders about how things are done around here, but like, how often is it that the Outriders take orders from the King?
Well, it's not orders, it's a contract. It's a contract I accepted on behalf of the Crypt.
Okay, fair enough.
And frankly, and Cecil backed me up on this one, this is the most on-the-level thing we've had in a long time.
This is what we used to do.
This is what it was like. Not every day, not even every month, but a couple of times a year. Like, before the Kingsguard got, you know, big and bloated as it is today, like, this is how we lived our lives. You know, from mission to mission, coming on down here, having some
I thought
cord.
Outriders just, like, patrolled the roads and, you know,
yeah, sure,
kept the ne'er-do-wells at bay and
yeah,
helped fix, like, wagon wheels for, and things like
throughout
that.
Throughout your life, yeah. That's what we've been doing, and even less of that recently. But before you were born, Harper, man, I remember when we were strong. Anyways, you got your orders.
Will do.
Rest
yes,
up.
Sir.
Get ready. Prep whatever you need to prep. And I'll see you tomorrow morning. I'll see you off. I got to stay here for this one.
All right.
We'll take care of things.
I know. That's why you're going.
Oh.
Harper has a sensation of, like, a new emotion that you haven't experienced before, and you're confused by it. I'm like, oh, God, is this what it's like to have someone believe in me?
Arabin turns to Cecil. You gonna be okay?
We need to root the source of this out. Maybe then.
It's for the good of the world.
It is. It certainly is. A lot of dark things in the world, Arabin. Sometimes you gotta be the light. You know, there's an old saying that darkness can't drive out darkness, but, you know, at the end of the day, the bigger darkness wins. We'll do what we have to. I've waited decades for this.
I guess, let's gear up and let's get to it. I gotta slap the armor back on Ignis.
What do Arabin's eyes look like right now? Or have over the past couple of weeks or month?
His eyes are normal, but the amulet has been stronger. Not necessarily constantly glowing, but present.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have clocked that as well? The amulet?
I think we have, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just enough to know. We don't know, but we are aware.
As we kind of like begin to separate from the night, I look to Arabin and say, like, hey, Arabin, before you turn in, would you mind doing me a favor? I just got some stuff to move around the workshop and I'm beat as hell. I could use an extra set of hands.
Of course.
Thanks. I think like in non-combat times, like non-mission times, like some of the plating comes off of Ignis so he can like, I can clean it and whatnot.
Sure.
And so, like, I think I just need to, like, start putting some of the, like, armored plates back on him. And there's shit everywhere in the workshop, and, like, it's like, yeah, and, like, I realize I made the damn thing, but I can't really move it. Can you help me move this? And Harper goes to one end of what looks to be, like a telescoping, like, 6 foot long, 7 foot, 8 foot long, like, metal tube, like a pipe almost. That starts, like, fairly wide at one end and then narrows to, like, a lower end. And is like, it's... Do you mind? Because, like, some of the armor's underneath this. I got carried away.
Yeah, Arabin tries to maneuver, but this workshop is Harper size and Arabin is like 6 feet tall.
At one point, I would like to try to... I'm going to try to do it discreetly, but there's no guarantee I'll be able to do that. I want to, like, try to, like, slip, essentially, and kind of, like, put Arabin in a position where he would need to, like, catch Harper. And as that happens, I want to, like, sneakily reach up a Tinker Tool and cast Identify on his amulet.
Okay. Yeah, if Harper slips, Arabin instinctively is going to catch her.
Okay. Sleight of hand.
Would I roll against this, then?
Yeah, perception check. Send me, and actually, rather than read it out, Bet. Both of you send me your numbers on Discord. Cool.
Did we tie or something?
No. Justin.
Yeah.
Say what you sent me.
It was a perception check. I rolled a one, which is a zero.
My man, you are cursed when it comes to perception checks.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say this one plays out a little bit differently for you than normal, Arabin, because normally when you roll this badly, a darkness invades your mind. But you are so taken aback because you have... your friend's, like, full form, like, in your hands. And she is just, like, fully, like, the entire weight of Harper's body is on you. And it is something, like, it is a closeness, and I'm going to go ahead and just say, like, an intimacy that you have not experienced in a very, very long time. And I think that trust, that implicit trust... is just absolutely throwing you off your game. Harper, yeah, 100% though. You got, like, Tinker Tools just ting, and that resonance travels up your arm and, like, into... it's like listening with the back of your neck, if you've ever heard that phrase before.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just know. So, yeah, like, you know that this is a magical focus. You know, like, there is not much information beyond that other than you know that there is a sentience to it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know something is in that amulet.
I think that's new information for Harper.
Probably.
Arabin catches Harper, is just like, you okay?
And I, like, flick the Tinker Tool, like, back down, like, my sleeve of, like, my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, probably just, like, slipped in a little, like, grease spot. I really need to clean up in here. I've been on such, like, a, you know, like, I've been working for the past month in here just on new stuff, and I'm, like, getting back up to my feet.
Yeah, we don't want you getting hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't want anyone getting hurt.
Yeah. So just, move this thing over here?
Yeah, and I'll get underneath it and shoulder it and move it off to the side. You know, set it down, wipe my hands off. Arabin, we're friends, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You tell me if anything was going on, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean?
We've talked before.
Yeah.
Feels like you're under the thumb of something.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm doing what I need to do for the good of the Outriders.
Are you doing what's good for you, though?
I'm honestly not sure, but it feels pretty good right now. It feels right.
Harper kind of grimaces. Listen, I'm not the best with words like you and Cecil are. Just promise me, if you think you're getting into a spot where, I don't know what the right analogy is, gone too deep, gone too far, if you get scared, Arabin, just, will you come and talk to me about it?
Harper, your intuition's not wrong, but I'm not gone. I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not scared.
Okay.
But if I ever feel like I'm falling off that bridge, you'll be the first to know.
Promise?
Absolutely.
Harper nods, contented. All right, well, unless you and I both get some shut-eye, then we got a... Apparently we got a mission on our hands. Again.
Yeah. It won't be easy.
Have any of them been?
No.
Not Arabin.
Not Harper.
I'll spend like 5 more minutes in the workshop just slapping some polish onto Iggy, and I'll feed him some glass and, you know, a little bedtime snack and send him off to dreamland, and I'll go turn in for the night.
Could you, for those of us playing along at home, describe how you send the construct off to dreamland?
I light a little candle, and it's his favorite scent, which is grease. And
sure. Yeah.
I read him a little bedtime story, which is, do mechanical tortoises dream of mechanical fish? It's a really short story. The answer is no. And give him a little pat, feed him some nighttime glass, and then he tucks into his shell.
And then a tune is heard. It goes ding, ding, do, ding, ding.
Is there a Cecil scene, or can I take us in for a landing?
There's a. The camera shot is just Cecil picking up a well-worn journal that has been read a lot in the last couple of months, mm-hmm. and packing it away in the bag that they're taking with in the morning.
Sure. You've been thumbing through it a lot, though. This journal. Going yeah. over it over and over. Give me a perception check.
Perception. That's a natural 20.
With a natural 20, when you walk in to your office, there is a smell of a familiar perfume smell in the air, and the journal is slightly askew from where you left it. Katie's looked.
I think Cecil certainly hasn't told her everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Cecil probably left it out.
Yeah, that sounds right. You could have put it back. Would have been yeah. nothing. The three of you rest, getting one last night of sleep in a comfortable bed, and at the spark of dawn, you are handed a bag of scrolls and protection and are sent north. You're not sure where, you're not sure when, but you know you're going towards a fight. Thank you for joining us here on Another Path. You can find our website and merch store at anotherpathpodcast.com. on Twitter at Another Path Pod, and our network at ghostlightmedia.net. You can support our efforts by donating at patreon.com/ghostlightmedia, or by giving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcatcher will let you. You can find me on Twitter at TQLoudly, Griffin at Griffcold, and Ryan at RyanRoll20. You can find Justin on TikTok at JustJustinMichael, and myself at TQLoudly. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode, and until then, remember, it is good to listen when somebody talks about their glory days.
This has been a Ghostlight Media production.